Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5, River Talk 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM, a River Network production.
Well, we're having a very interesting discussion here with Manny Matsakis. He is the general manager, head coach, owner, and cheerleader also. You're going to be doing everything else. You're going to do any cheerleading, put on a little skirt or something
I might wear one of those, you know, Greek military skirts.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be a hell of a way to come out in the game, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're called skirts.
I don't know what they call them, but first time I saw them as a kid, I'm like, okay.
But, well, the Scots started it anyway.
Well, we would get a lot of PR if I did that.
You would, you know
what? We'd be on ESPN. Look at this coach,
you
man.
Know
What's
what?
He doing?
Oh, man, that would be great. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking news. If you want to talk with Manny Matsakis, phone number is 740-325-1490. That's 740-325-1490. I'm actually having a very good time with you. I didn't know what I was going to get this morning. I got to be honest with you.
I didn't know.
It's like some Greek guy from Shadyside. You know, but you're actually very interesting in that ring of yours. Jesus, how big is that ring? You can knock somebody out just by slapping their face.
It's got a bunch of diamonds. It's the very first of, we got about seven of these. They're bowl game championship rings when you're coaching in college. So that's.
What is that one for?
This one was
show the folks on Facebook here.
See that it's it's my first one I ever got, so I sort of resonate toward that one. I coach at Kansas State. We played in the
Cougars.
Wildcats. Yeah, and then we played in Hawaii in the Aloha Bowl, and you see palm trees on it, and it's sort of cool. So it was the first one, and then I was fortunate, and I think I've got seven of them now. So
I'm looking at NFL history here. It's my understanding with you that you were the last guy who was straight on kicker.
Yeah, like Lou Groza. That was the last straight on kicker drafted in the National Football League. So it was it's cool. I remember one time I was coaching at Hofstra and on the Fan, WFAN, I was a trivia question.
Really?
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. But
Did you actually kick in the NFL or you were the last one drafted as a straight on kicker?
Yeah.
Why are the soccer style kickers, why is that? Why are they more successful?
Well, I think it's less that they're more successful, because remember, there were guys, I mean, there's a guy at my time named Mark Mosley that kicked for the Redskins, and he ended up, the only time this ever happened in the National Football League, he was the MVP of the league as a kicker.
What?
Yeah. He didn't miss a field goal, and I think he won like four or five games.
Oh, my
with last second field goal.
There's
wins.
A trivia question,
yeah,
my friend.
Mark is a good dude.
There's and, a yeah. trivia question.
So he's a straight-on kicker. So,
What happened? Why do the soccer style kickers, why are they so much better?
Well, like I said, I don't know that they're so much better. There's just, when it's like straight on kickers, I look at it as like a dinosaur. It's over, right? You don't have that style anymore. In my day, when you were the kicker that way, you were one of the best athletes on the team. Like Lou Groza was amazing.
Ferry.
Yeah, right? So those guys were doing this because it was easier, right? And then when soccer started becoming more of a game here, some of those athletes that could kick the ball were playing soccer, and then the football coach would pull them in and say, look, there's a whole lot more people in this football stadium than the parents that are the soccer game. Yeah. So they started getting these guys. So they're really good.
Was it the AFL with Charlie and Pete Gogolak? Were they the first two?
Yes. They were the first ones with the Giants, and I can't recall where the other one played, but they sort of like broke it in, and then you had great ones. And I've got friends like Jan Stenerud was a great, he's an all pro kicker that I ended up being friends with. But I learned how to kick straight on. My dad, I had broken my leg. I was like eighth grade, right, playing running back, and we were watching a Monday night football game, and the Cleveland Browns had a guy, Don Cockcroft, straight-on kicker, right? He won a Monday night football game at the last kick of the game. And the next day, my father, I mean, we're in Shadyside. He calls the Cleveland Browns office and says, I would like my son to meet Don Cockcroft and have him work with him.
And wow.
So they literally gave us the audit. So we drove up to Cleveland, and it was the day off, and Don came out and actually was the first guy that showed me how to do it. And then, you know, then I had some local guys. You know, there's Gary Homer, who was a great kicker at Ohio University from Belair, you know, and he was real close to make it in the NFL. I mean, he was got deep into camps.
How
and
bad did
so
it
I'd hang
feel?
Out with those guys.
How frustrated were you when you just you couldn't make the last cut?
Oh, it was tough. I mean, because, I mean, that's what I knew. That's all I knew. So, you know.
So close to the brass ring.
Yeah.
You're so Dimitri, damn close.
I didn't watch football for like 3 years after that. I couldn't watch it. It was just like, you know, because when you get drafted so high and, yeah. and it just didn't work
what,
out.
What draft pick were you?
I was like a seventh, eighth round, I think.
And, for a kicker?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
my,
it was.
Bravo, sir. Bravo.
Well, yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, so I had that, and it just didn't work out.
Who did you lose to? Who was the kicker?
Actually, a guy from, they played at Youngstown State, of all places, Paul McFadden, and did a really good job. And, you know, it was a close deal.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, he kicked barefooted, soccer style, which back then was like the rage, right? It was the thing.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of guys that were doing that. So it was like they were trying to catch the latest thing. And that's where it didn't work out.
Oh, yeah. Man, oh man.
But if the Ironman would have existed, I could have come back here, kept developing, and get back in that league. So a lot of guys don't have those opportunities to play outdoor professional football. That's the difference, because think about it. I love watching the minors play. I'll go to their games at the arena.
It's
there.
Indoor though.
But it's fine. But the problem is, I mean, you have no tight ends. You don't have any kicking game other than field goals, and you know, it doesn't look, you can't punt the ball. You can't really have a game that the NFL is going to pay a lot of attention to.
Right.
So this gives the players that platform.
That is great. So the Wheeling Ironman.
That's fine.
The Ohio Valley Ironman. Your colors now from your jacket looks like you're looking like the Raiders, the Oakland Raiders. You got the Oakland Raiders vibe. Oh, my friend, you've
got
the
vibe.
Oakland Raiders
vibe.
Right.
So when you look at that logo, just sort of
silver and black.
I built it around the guy, right? Yeah. So the Iron Man with the hard hat, those, you know, those special goggles they wear and stuff like that. So it was like, okay, what would that look like being cool? I wanted a retro look. Because, you know, initially the league gave me some crazy, colorful, cartoonish logo. I didn't want that.
Not for this area. Cartoonish in this area, no.
Not going to work.
Not at all.
No, but it'll be, so the shield that you see there is, that's the logo of the Ironman, but we also are pulling colors for the uniform. So when you look at
it. Silver and black?
There'll be silver and black in it, but the other piece that I you'll see when our uniforms are actually, if you look at the Steeler helmet, you know, they've got those three diamonds on there. Those three. So we're pulling those colors into our uniform. So the blue, you know, the red, the gold, those types of things, because they stand for steel, iron, coal. Right. And, you know, it'll be what more colorful uniform, but that's the logo on the helmet.
That's great. Yeah. Are you going to have any kind of special relationship now with the Steelers? Somebody gets hurt or whatever? No, I'm serious. I mean,
that's where I have the scouts and the people I know up there will be watching our guys. So I feel that's a relationship I want to keep building. You know, and right now it's honestly, to me, just what I'm doing right now, it's like, drinking through a fire hose. There's so much going on, but I also know that I've got to use my connections to help our players, and you know, so that relationship I think is gonna keep building.
You gonna have cheerleaders?
No.
No cheerleaders here in the Valley? Are you kidding me?
I couldn't find the right thing I was looking for, because you understand.
You tried Jill's?
Yeah, I've had that recommendation. Yes, it was more like my thought is. Initially, we don't need it yet, but
I don't need hot babes on the sidelines as cheerleaders. Are you kidding me?
It's finding them here. Like some of these other teams, I mean, they're in bigger markets. Like there's a team in Tampa that we don't play right now, but you know, they've got former NFL cheerleaders that live right there. So we're not, I mean, it's the last time I walked around, you know, the Valley and saw NFL cheerleaders that want to do this or
dance
somebody
schools?
That wants to run it.
Dance schools?
Most of them are kids.
Oh.
You know, and you got to watch that because this is pro football.
You can't have that. I get that.
Yeah.
College?
I'm looking at like possibly, and I'm looking at seeing about like WVU's cheerleaders coming in to perform at the game to be there, because the blue and the gold sort of fits with our deal. Any college, that would make more sense. So we can bring in some guest cheerleaders and then see how, because I did a poll, you know, and our fans, the people that have been following us, and people liked it. But it wasn't like overwhelming, you got to have this. And in my mind, what's most urgent is getting a great product on the field.
Sure.
And then we're going to do it with, you know, great sound system, video board, all the things that to make it more entertaining during the game.
That is great. What's been, in your whole career, you've done a lot of great things. What has been the high point of your career other than, obviously, this interview?
I would say my high point was years ago. I was the head coach at a school in Kansas, Emporia State University, and we were a really good Division II football team. I had the opportunity. I got a call from North Dakota State to play. They needed an opponent, right? And for a home game, first game, and they were what they are now. They're nationally, they're the giant slayer. They play all these people and win. And it was in the Fargo Dome. So I took a team that we were good, and we ended up having the National Player of the Year on our team, a running back that was the all-time leading rusher in college football history. But they were just, nobody would play them. So then they gave us, I think it was about $100,000 to play them as a guarantee. And they gave us a private plane to fly up, and they gave all that money I put into the weight room to help build the program. So we flew up to Fargo. It was a Fox Sports game of the week. And it was a Thursday night. And what ended up happening is, and this is the history of it, we beat them, and it was 17,000 fans, which in a dome, really loud, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was so loud, Dimitri, when we would be getting into the red zone. Remember, these are farmers up there. They had tractors in the ramps, and when we get there, they'd rev them up so we couldn't hear. It was deafening. Yeah, so we beat these guys, and this was 1998, I believe. And since that time, nobody has ever done that. In other words, gone to Fargo for a home opener against the North Dakota State Bison and beat them. So this is historical, right? So that was cool to me. Yeah. So that was fun. Then we had some local players. Okay, I mean, I had a kid named Chet Poblish, who's going to be in the OVAC Hall of Fame here, just getting inducted. So he played for me. I had monster guy from Buckeye local, Joe Kaminsky. He's like 6'7", a defensive end. He transferred in from Iowa State. He was starting at Iowa State.
Iowa State?
He and Chet were so close.
Yeah.
He says, I'm leaving. I'm coming to Emporia. So we had some guys.
I tell you, Manny, I hope this thing works for you. I hope it works for the players. You got to give them really cool nicknames. Every one of them. I mean, honest to God. Well,
let's go.
We're almost out of time here. I always give my guests the last word. This is your opportunity to speak directly to all of our listeners, not only the Ohio Valley, but really throughout the world because of our app now with River Network and Big Willie 105.5. So you've got about a minute to say pretty much anything you want and tell people how to buy tickets and how to watch and how to do everything to help you make some money. Ladies and gentlemen, a real legend here in the Upper Ohio Valley, very cool guy, Manny Matsakis, my microphone is yours.
Thanks, Dimitri. Well, I will tell you this, guys. We're excited to get things started. Go to our Facebook page, Ohio Valley Football, Ohio Valley Ironman Pro Football. Our website is ohiovalleyironman.com. That's where you can get tickets. So we've got season tickets and then also single game tickets. Very reasonable. It all works out great. We'll be at a lot of events. We're going to have private events and public events all over the valley. Come meet our players. They get in here May 29th. Let's have some fun. Let's make this a great experience because I'm excited. I know our players just can't wait to get here and represent with a hard hat mentality.
How do people get in touch with you?
OhioValleyIronman.com.
All right. You also on Facebook?
Yep. Ohio Valley Ironman Pro Football. That's how you get to us. Yeah, so it's been building up nicely, and so we've got all that Instagram, all those types of things are set up that way.
That is great. Manny Matsakis, thank you so much. The Ohio Valley Ironman, and the tradition starts all over again.
Yeah,
you revive the tradition here, so
let's
it should
go.
Should be a lot of fun. And if you're a football player, want to be a great football player and play, get in touch with this guy, because this guy's got connections. He really does. And you hear that knocking? You hear what that is? That's opportunity knocking. ouch, my knuckles. Anyway, so by all means, please do that. Next up, we've got Treff Dog himself, Jim Treff Dog Treffney. But his car's still not here. I'm getting a little worried. He doesn't blow me off. He's our sales manager. He better not blow me off. That's all I got to say.